Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karmateksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled Skillfully Letting Go of the Past by Lama Tom Broadwater. As we come to the end of the year, we often look back and feel a bit stuck in things that we would like to let go of, resentments, disappointments, regrets, etc. One skillful means a Buddhist has to let go of the past and begin anew is Tonglen. We will explore this imaginative practice to work on letting go of our past and begin again. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karmateksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome. And I'm surprised to see so many here on a cold day like today. We should have allowed you to come in your jammies. Be a little warm. So, again, welcome. And the way we begin is to sort of take a minute to check our motivation. And there's plenty of reasons we could be here, but the most perfect reason we could be here is because we want to come a little closer to be awakened. And in order to do that, it's good to come with a mind that is loving, kind, and compassionate. So to have the attitude of openness and a love that not just encompasses those that are closest to us, but all beings. And we begin by reciting, which you may have copies of on your seats, the refuge prayer. If you'll hand me one, I'm always going to miss one word that's there and that throws everybody off, so I'll make sure I... So it's the refuge prayer. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the assembly most excellent, I take refuge until I reach enlightenment. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may I achieve enlightenment for the sake of all beings. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the assembly most excellent, I take refuge until I reach enlightenment. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may I achieve enlightenment for the sake of all beings. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the assembly most excellent, I take refuge until I reach enlightenment. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may I achieve enlightenment for the sake of all beings. So the topic this morning is called basically letting go of the past in skillful ways. And it's also sort of going to be a mini teaching on Tonglen and a little bit about deity practice. We're going to mix it all up together. So it's also towards the end of the year, right? And we're about to begin a new one. And so it can be a time for reflection, sort of looking back, seeing where we have been and where we are going. So often people use this as an opportunity to let go, to lay down their burdens of the past. So during this talk, we're going to use our imagination to let go of the past and envision something that we have yet to experience. We all possess imagination. Some people say, I'm not good at visualization. Well, if I said right now, close your eyes and visualize your next door neighbor or your house that you live in or something of this sort. I think everybody could do that, right? Everyone could imagine that. Of course, what we're doing, we're imagining through the mind's eye, so it's not going to be quite as clear as if we're looking out here, but we can all use our imagination. And this is one of the aspects of the teaching this morning, is using that imagination. It's unfortunate that this imaginative aspect that we have, that we can use in our mind, it often gets lost. It gets lost in our everyday lives, and we get sometimes stuck in the past, making it seem so solid, real, and substantial. So we lose that ability to imagine and that ability to envision something better because of the trials and tribulations of everyday life. We get stuck in the past. Those past stories that we're always telling ourselves. The little dramas that have happened throughout the year. We can get stuck in our resentments. We can get stuck in our anger. We can get stuck in our losses. And we carry these past stories into the present. And this all creates an obstacle for our happiness. Maybe in the past year you've experienced some hurt, and you can easily get it stuck in that story. So what can we do on a spiritual plane to help us, enable us to let go of that past, to get unstuck? Well, there's all kinds of really beautiful teachings within Buddhism that can help us in this respect, can heal those hurts. We, again, as I said before, we can get stuck in what we think of as the dreary, ordinary present. But in Vajrayana practice, specifically deity practices, we can see our bodies, our minds, and our world, and all beings as already enlightened. And that's through the use of imagination. And you each, every one of us, has that capacity. So who here has heard of Chenrezig? Okay, there's a few that haven't. And his picture is there. The Chenrezig basically represents all the compassion, the combined compassion of all the Buddhas in all realms, in all directions. Represents just pure compassion and love. We're going to use that image and imagine that image later on in this talk. So, to explain a little bit, in Vajrayana practice, we can imagine the presence of the deity either externally as there, and sometimes we actually become the deity. So there's an external practice and an internal practice. So we can imagine ourselves as the deity, or we can imagine them external to us. The essential point in Vajrayana practice is that this Buddha nature is present in us, but obscured by our emotions. And as a result, we find it difficult to imagine ourselves as anything else than simply ordinary. But we have this Buddha nature. So through skillful means, we either see ourselves in the presence of something more pure, or we are that purity. And that's Vajrayana practice. That'll become a little clearer to you as we go along in this talk. The point of our Buddha nature is it's not a thing so much, but rather our consciousness is no different from, in essence, from any Buddha. We're the same. The Buddha and ourselves are the same in nature. And the only problem is, because of our obscured because of all of our afflictive emotions, our hatreds, our angers, our stories, all that stuff, we can't see it. So through Vajrayana practice, we get that opened up to us in a very imaginative way. So deity practice can be a way to clear away old baggage and to feel our Buddha nature. So when we realize the deity as external, we see him as near to us, but we feel the warmth and the kindness of that deity radiating from them and engulfing us and all human beings. So as a result, we're simply feeling compassion. So when we visualize Chenrezig, we're visualizing compassion, and it is something that we feel, we see through our imagination, and think of. And through deity practice, we can unburden ourselves of the solidity of the past and then envision something more enlightened, let's put it that way. And again, this will become a lot clearer as we do the practice that I'm going to we'll do later on. So the other practice that I'm going to talk about is Tonglin. How many have done or know about Tonglin? Okay, good. And some of you, this is something new, so let me explain it very, very simply. What we're doing in Tonglin is we're imagining that with our breath, we're bringing in all the suffering of other beings and ourselves into our hearts. And on the out-breath, we're giving those beings and ourselves love, compassion, whatever they need to overcome their suffering. So it's, in essence, a very simple practice, bringing in suffering and giving out compassion. So it's also called a compassion practice. Simple, but if we're sincere in the practice of it and really try to get into the practice, it's probably one of the most profound practices we beginners can use. Before we do this combined Tonglin, so again, the practice of breathing in whatever suffering there is in the world and in ourselves, and breathing out love and compassion, before we do that Tonglin practice and the deity practice that I was talking about this morning, let's go back to the title of the of today's talk. It's about letting go of the past. So we're going to have to talk a little bit about time from the Buddhist perspective. And it's simply this. What happened in the past is past. Present is like a borderline between the past and the future. But there is not one atom left of the past. You cannot find it now. It cannot be repeated. It's over. Whomever we were, we can never be that person again. Whomever we interacted with in the past is not now. The real past could not be more gone. It's 100% gone. But it did help. It did happen in the relative world. And in that relative world, we made karma with others, and that we do carry forward. we carry it forward in our mind stream. The future is different. It never happened. It's not there. It's not a reality. The past had a reality, but it's past. But in our minds, what we call the past is very strong and can be very solid. But if we look at this very carefully, the past are simply stories, the stories we tell ourselves. But as we know, stories can be very powerful because they carry karma, the imprints, you might say, of our past actions. We carry these imprints now, and they will manifest sometime in the future. But right now, we're going to look at the past that we carry in our mind. In a way, the past is sort of like a landscape that we can travel back to, maybe even to when we were children. I mean, that's how powerful the past is. Some of us can remember what we did on a certain day when we were 4 years old. But the interesting thing is that we are always rewriting the story. Every time we go back, we're rewriting it. Sometimes people tell us something about the past that we had forgotten, so we revise the story. Sometimes we pick up a letter that our father wrote to our mother during the war, which I just had the experience a couple weeks ago of doing. And you read this story, and all of a sudden, your childhood takes on a whole different dimension. So we're always revising this story of the past that we tell ourselves. And sometimes that revision sort of clashes with what we thought was the truth of our lives. But even that revised story is probably going to be revised again in the future. Akon Rinpoche, who's a great teacher in Scotland, he said, we are made up of four factors. Our past karma. He said, what happened in the womb, the exchange of fluids, you know, we're very intimate with our mother, that has an influence on who we are. He's putting it in these terms. He said genetics has a part of our past. And what he meant by that was, the best example would be the traumas of our previous generations. You know, if like, for example, our grandfather was an alcoholic, that might have influenced our parents, which in turn influenced us. So we carry the baggage of past generations with us. And then finally, he said, Akon Rinpoche said that we are also made up of our childhood upbringing. So that's very influential. So when we're talking about the past, we're talking about all four of those things. And we will carry those into this practice that we'll do today. So when we say the past, this is what we mean. We'll be dealing with those. But all of those things can and often do stand in the way of our progress because we solidify them. And it causes us pain. And it keeps us from moving on. And what we said right now, this is sort of like the time of the year to start reflecting on laying down our past. Certainly, it varies from person to person how much work is involved here. Someone who's been severely traumatized, that work is ongoing. So it's not easy work. We often think that we'd often like our past just to disappear. And that's not often the case. It's work we have to do with it. But there are probably some among you that don't have any work to do at all. That you've cleared it out and you're perfectly okay. And so this work will be a lot easier for you. But we do want to be free of that past. Again, it's just a story. I will also tell you it may not be wise to simply rely upon Buddhist teachings of shunyata or emptiness when dealing with your past. You know, you've heard people say, oh, it's just empty. It means, you know, it's us beginners taking the ultimate view too quickly, you know. Oh, it's just the past. So when something difficult comes up, we simply say, oh, you know, it's empty. It has no true nature. Some people call that spiritual bypass. You know, you're trying to get around something you should go through. Maybe we need to investigate the past a little bit. And seriously, off the cushion. On the cushion, of course, when a thought comes up, we let it go. But if the thought of the past comes up frequently when we're sitting and we drop it, but we still have difficulty with it, then that may be a good indication that you need to investigate that off the cushion. So actually what happens sometimes in meditation, we become more aware of our past difficulties. And for that person who is traveling the meditation route, the past is a real burden. Therapy might be an option for them. It might be a good option for them. But I want to also say this, and based upon my own experience, going to therapy, if as a result of our therapy, we actually solidify the past even more, then we've misused therapy to make it. Because what do we want to do? Whether it's in our Buddhist practice or in therapy, we want to be free ultimately of our past, or at least to be freer from it. And if we start telling our story in such a way that we solidify it, make it so strong that we cannot be unburdened by it, then we have a problem. So therapy is good, but with that in mind, we've got to be careful how we use it. So whatever we do, however, the trick is to get to the point to saying, that was then, and this is now. This is now. We want to be free of the past, not solidify it. And if we need to figure that out, then it's often helpful to go to some person that's really empathetic, kind, and loving, and sort of talk it out. That could be a therapist. That could be Lama Kathy. That could be a senior teacher. It could be your friend. But go to someone if you're having trouble laying down the past. That's also an option. I don't have an answer here for what you need to do. But you do have this inner wisdom, and you can talk to other folks, and you will be able to figure it out. For Buddhist practitioners, there are imaginative tools of skillful means, finding ways to get ourselves out of, away from a difficult past when it's a burden and an obstacle to our journey. And Tong Lin, that tool that I was talking about, we can use, which is basically breathing in and breathing out, breathing in the suffering and breathing out our love and compassion. So let's do some practice. By the way, I want to thank Kempo Ken of Scotland, who did a beautiful, I was in a Zoom with him a couple of weeks ago, and he gave me this practice in Zoom. So I wrote him a little note, and I said, Kempo Ken, would you mind if I use this some Sunday morning? And he said, I trust you? Yeah, sure, use it. So thanks to Kempo Ken for allowing me to use it. By the way, his teacher was Jhandum Kantrill, the previous Jhandum Kantrill, and Akin Rinpoche. And I think parts of both of the practices I'm going to do this morning were the result of his learning them from his teachers. So right now, get into a nice, comfortable position, however you want to do that. Sort of maybe shake your body around to get it nice and loose and relaxed. Sort of go to places in your body that you're not feeling very relaxed and try to get a little bit relaxed. Sort of be aware of your body, the energies that are flowing in your body. Take some nice deep breaths. Make sure your, the thing is, make sure your back is nice and straight. If you want to, you can close your eyes, if that helps you visualize better, or if you prefer, you can keep them open. First thing I want you to visualize is a cylindrical channel that runs from the top of your head, internal in your body, down to your heart center. A channel that's cylindrical. It's made of light. It's not made of anything other than light. And it's about the size of your thumb, and it reaches from the top of your head down to your heart center. At the top, it's open. And at the bottom, it's closed. This is seen in Vajrayana practice as a highway for your body's energies. And try to make that as clear as you can. Again, it's not going to be perfect. That's okay too. Just a channel. And the body's energies run through this channel. And at the bottom of your heart, where it's closed off, by the way, the heart center is in the middle, not where your heart is located, but in the middle of your chest. And so at the bottom of this closed channel are five color lights, a fountain of five colored lights. So tune into this. See this as a very powerful force at your heart center. And over this fountain is a lotus flower, sort of pinkish white. And it's held up by the energetic force of this five-colored fountain. And the lotus is open, and it represents the openness of our own heart, beautifully open. And by the way, this open quality can often be damaged by past hurts and the resentments in our lives. But today, just for today, we're going to be open to what is totally without harm, totally at peace. What's a great blessing to everyone. So let this openness, this open awareness, now go above our head. Place this awareness above our head and allow this awareness to expand to the very limits of space. This mind is expansive and innately pure. That purity is the love and compassion for all beings. Allow yourself to see this expanse as a wise, powerful love and compassion manifesting as the Bodhisattva Chenrezig. And if you're not particularly religious, you can imagine it as a sphere of pure light. It's okay, whichever. It's sort of like this beautiful hologram that it's expanded to the very limits of space. It's pure love and compassion. And slowly it becomes smaller and smaller. Say the size of Columbus. And smaller and smaller until above your head and at the opening of this channel, it's about the size of your thumb, whether it's Chenrezig or this brilliant sphere of light. And as the sphere and Chenrezig became smaller, it becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. And now Chenrezig descends in this channel, first behind your eyes, then your throat, down to your chest, and then on top of the lotus. And as it sits there, this love and compassion fills your body and everything around you. We radiate this light so strongly, our bodies become like a fortress of light. Love, compassion, and kindness. This image that we now have before in our mind is a basis for our Tonglin practice, our giving and receiving. And let's first start with ourselves and let us see our past, whatever is painful there, which right now might be a no-go zone. Too painful to fully go there. But this is going to be the object of our Tonglin. The object could also be things we've done to other people that has been hurtful. Things that are unkind or unskillful. Whatever is painful, uncomfortable, unskillful, we bring this close to our body in the form of black smoke. We breathe it in and let it go to our heart center. This dark smoke we feel is the pain. It may be the story we are carrying. Maybe it's been going on for years and years. We bring this darkness closer to us and into our heart center. But there, It meets the fortress of our body of light, chin raising. It meets compassion and the love located there. And it has no choice but to dissolve into the love and the compassion of chin raising, the image in our hearts. As we bring it into our body, momentarily, lightly hold the breath and feel the compassion of chin raising to such an extent that there's no past or no future. And then as we breathe out to ourselves white light. With that white light, we give ourselves peace. We bring the past to rest, giving ourselves the skill to deal with this relative story. We give to ourselves all the qualities we need to deal with this story whenever it comes up in the future. So let's do this Tonglen practice regarding our past for a few moments, doing it as a meditation. Breathing in the pain of our past to the extent we can, and breathing out in white light all that will be helpful to heal that hurt. Knowing that chin raising, this fear of light and compassion and love, is within us. So take a deep breath and relax again. Take a little rest, nice little rest here. In your practice at home, you might want to drill down more in terms of what specifically may be hurting. We won't do that today. But the important point here I would tell everyone is to do it slowly. Sometimes we would like to dramatically get rid of the past, you know, just all of a sudden, sort of like standing before a black hole, getting sucked into it, being pulled by a wormhole into the other side of the universe as a brand new person, just like that. It rarely happens that way. It's a process over time that we do. It's all process. I'm just introducing you to the things you can do in Tonglen. Now, in the next session, we're going to be focused on those of us who try to meditate. I'm talking about myself here. I don't know about you, but I'm talking about me. Who at one time or another gets lost in their meditation through distraction. Anybody have that problem? Yes, everyone's being truthful. So we're going to work on that today in Tonglen. So in this part, we visualize the black smoke as that which makes us distracted. Whatever it is, from our past that gets us distracted. Or it could be something in our present for that matter. But whatever it is that pulls us in a distracted way during our meditation. By the way, a good definition of meditation is not about having a good experience. People think that's what it means. It's not. What meditation means is doing what the instructions tell us to do. It's simply that. That's it. Just do what the instructions tell you to do. Of course we don't, right? That's our problem. It doesn't matter in meditation whether there's good experiences or bad experiences. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. They come and they'll go. It's really secondary to our meditation. So if the practice says to look off the end of your nose 16 inches, that's what you do. That's it. Nothing else. Just, you know, for us, it's follow the breath. That's the support we use. So that's what we do. Genpo Ken said that in meditation, we are renting our minds out in a timeshare to all the things that distract us. So it's sometimes we're doing the meditation, sometimes we're renting it out to all of our distractions. And that's diluted meditation. If we only just follow the directions, the instructions we've been given, I assure you, you'll make progress. I guarantee it. There's no question about it. It's been around for a couple thousand years. This is the way to do it. It works. But the problem is we don't follow the instructions and we get distracted. So let's bring our Tonglen to these obstacles of distraction, whether it's our recall of the past or our thoughts of anticipating the future. And we do this really so easily, get distracted. So we take these distractions as black smoke and we breathe them in. Allow them to come to our heart center. We're in the presence of love and compassion in the form of this brilliant sphere of Chenrezig. They dissipate. Gimbal Carter Rinpoche said, just like water on a hot iron, they just fizzle out. So we bring in all of our distractions in the form of black smoke. We hold it for just a moment, our breath for just a slight moment, and we breathe out whatever it will take to maintain a gentle attention to our breath, because that's what meditation is all about. And we're also going to give ourselves the skill to bring our minds back when it does stray. So breathe in whatever might be distracting, and breathe out whatever you need to overcome that in meditation. So let's do this for just a few moments. Just breathe naturally. Nothing forced here. All you're doing is noticing what you do naturally. So take a little rest here. So in this final session of Tonglen, giving and receiving, taking in pain and releasing or giving off love and compassion and whatever is needed to overcome that pain, this last session we're going to think about other people. You probably know of others who carry their past like a very heavy weight. It can be very strong. They're stuck, really stuck in that past. There's a word in Tibetan, shakpa, and that means to lay down the burden. And so what we wish for those folks that carry this past so heavily, so solidly, we wish for them to be able to lay that down, to unburden themselves. We may carry that burden for all kinds of reasons, for reasons of self-pity, anger, jealousy, and sometimes pride. I was somebody and now I'm nobody. The pride that can happen, that we carry as past baggage, the insults done to us. It's a very heavy suffering. And some people can carry that around all day, just in sort of an unexpressed, unspoken kind of attitude. We wish for those people more than anything else that they lay this heavy burden down. So we're going to take on that heavy burden that they have, bring it into our heart in the form of black smoke. But we can have the confidence that we can dissipate that black smoke because there is this love and compassion within our own heart in the form of Chenrezig, or the bright sphere of light. Because once it touches this heart in which Chenrezig resides, it just cannot continue to live. It dissipates. So think of those people that are carrying this baggage. Think of their pain and bring it into your heart in the form of black smoke. Pause for a moment, remembering the compassion and love in your heart, and breathe out to them everything and anything they need to overcome this burden, including therapy if that's what they need, including whatever another friend will talk to them and help them. Whatever they need, may they receive it. And we will give that out in the form of bright white light to them. And with this white light, they wake up. And they wake up to this love and compassion. Oh. Now just be with Chenrezig in your heart center. You don't need to pay any attention to your breath. Just relax with Chenrezig. So, if I don't see it before the new year, my greatest hope is that all of us are able to lay down our past and see the freshness of the present, of what's lying ahead of us. And we can face that with courage, with fearlessness, because Chenrezig is right here in our heart. We have a few moments. If anybody has comments, thoughts, or questions, you're welcome to come up to the microphone. Y'all good? Okay. So let's do the dedication of merit. Basically, the idea here is what we've done today in practice has been a benefit, first of all, to ourselves. But we don't want to just keep that benefit to ourselves. We want to generate the notion, the idea that when we encounter other people, the benefits that we have attained here be for all beings, for everybody. Not just ourselves, whatever little bit of goodness that we've experienced or felt today, that we would want for everybody. And so this is what the dedication of merit is. By this merit, may all obtain omniscience. May it defeat the enemy wrongdoing. From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness and death, from the ocean of samsara, may I free all beings. The courageous Manjushri, who knows everything as it is, Samantha Vajra, who also knows in the same way, and all the bodhisattvas, that I may follow in their path, I completely dedicate all this virtue. So let's just sit for a moment. So I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you for all coming.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.